that can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From Your Hands, Your Feet, Your Side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let Your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus, I trust in You.
Folks, we're in lockstep, headed for these end times that are upon us. But also, we're also headed for a wonderful, great revival. And, as you know, a great falling away. When I say a great revival, I mean a great revival among the elect. not among the world, but among those that God has called, you know. So, please pray. Please pray for our brethren who are still in the world. Pray for the elect that God has chosen from the foundation of the world. Like Paul said, I do all things for the elect's sake. Obviously, you're not ultimately going to be used to save anyone that's not chosen. So we have to make our calling and election sure. Election is the word chosen. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, folks, many are called, but few are chosen, as our Lord told us, to be warned. And what's going to happen? What's going to be the cause of the many called falling away? Well, that's something I'd like to talk to you about tonight. Division, deception, how can we avoid some of these things? I mean, obviously there's disagreements, but if people will do what the Bible says and forgive, they can at least work things out. But some people are just not willing. They're only willing to shout and scream and run the other way. They don't want to hear. Many times God's people don't want to hear, you know, what the Word says. So I would like to share with you just a few things that I think will help you, or help the elect, I should say, not fall into the traps of deception that are obviously coming upon the whole world. And the Lord has warned us about them many times. So I'm going to start out here in Matthew 13. Just a little background. Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower. One of the first parables there is the parable of the sower. And, of course, you know, of the four groups that Jesus spoke about, only one actually went on to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And the other three fell away. You know, folks, the Bible speaks of a great falling away in these days. It's sad. In fact, we see it happening all the time. We look around us, we see brethren that are just, you know, stumbling and because they're not obedient to God's Word, they're not listening. And we would like to, by the grace of God, be used by God to prevent some of that. What I want to point you out tonight is verse 24. On down, the parable of the tares. Because, you know, folks, we are coming to the harvest now. Matter of fact, many people are coming into the kingdom of God even now. I'm talking about coming out of Babylon to walk in the kingdom of God. Just because you, as a Christian, walk in the world does not mean you walk in the kingdom of God, right? So we have to learn to walk in the kingdom of God by abiding in Jesus Christ. You know, He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Abiding in Christ is abiding in the kingdom of heaven. So, Jesus shared a parable here with us from 24 on down. I'd like to share with you to kind of start us out here. It says, another parable said He before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servants say unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he saith, Nay, lest haply while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Wow, you know that? All right alongside the tares is the wheat. And God said, let it be until the harvest. Now here we are, coming to the harvest. Many revelations have been given in these last few years. I got quite a few of them on our site. In fact, I read one of them to you just the other day, that there is going to be a harvest of 7 years. And it is, of course, the last 7 years that God's elect will be on this earth. He said, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Gather up first the tares. Well, God is gathering the tares together into bundles. Not that he's going to burn them right now, but he said to burn them. Okay? But he said, gather the wheat into my barn. Well, what would you expect that a barn would represent? You know, besides the kingdom of heaven on earth where the fruit is gathered, right? Well, I would say the barn is in the field, right? The barn is not the big house. The barn is out there in the field. And it's where you gather up the fruit of your labors, right? Well, I believe that God is doing that. He is gathering up the fruit of his labors. And not that everybody's gone to the big house yet, but the wheat is being gathered, and the tares are being gathered, and God is separating the two. And let me go on down here and read the interpretation of this. Verse 36. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And, of course, how is it that the tares could be among the wheat and people not notice it? You know, it's obviously because before the wheat has borne fruit, it looks very similar to the tares. The tares have a very small fruit. But as soon as the wheat starts bearing really good, luscious fruit, well, it really outshines the tares considerably. And, of course, it's a time when it's easy to separate them. So the Lord says, hey, let them grow together until the harvest, lest you root up the wheat with the tares. Because sometimes it's hard to tell before the wheat has really borne fruit, you know. And, of course, Christians are like that. Some of them in these days are going to bear fruit very quickly and will be obvious the difference between them and the people who are just Christians in name only. And so God is making a separation when? In the days of the harvest. That's the day we're just about to start here, folks. There is going to come great division. Not that it's not already started, but in the 7 years of the harvest, it's going to be full speed ahead. Verse 39, And the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Or actually, it's the end of the age. You know, not the end of the world. The word world there is actually age. The end of the age. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. The word things is not there in the original, because it's not things he's gathering, it's his people. Okay? So he's going to gather out of his kingdom all that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. In other words, should the people who call themselves Christians, as we go into this harvest, should they continue to be a stumbling block unto their brethren, should they continue to live in their sins, guess what? They're going to be removed from the kingdom of God. You're going to be seeing that more and more. In fact, we have been seeing it. In fact, especially in the area that I'm in down here, we're seeing it. With a strong delusion being foisted upon the people of God, separating them from the Word of God. Actually, if you're separate from the Word of God, you're being separated from the kingdom of God. The Word of God is Jesus Christ, and as we saw, only abiding in Him is to be abiding in His kingdom. And, of course, abiding in Him is abiding in His Word. Okay? He is the Word made flesh. So, in the time of the harvest, the Lord's going to gather out of His kingdom all that cause stumbling, them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So He gathers them up. He bundles birds of a feather, flock together, as you know, and He gathers them all together to be ready for the furnace. Okay? Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear. Well, notice, He's going to gather out of His kingdom those who cause stumbling to the brethren and continue to live in their sins. He's going to gather out of His kingdom. Notice, they are leaving our kingdom. It has nothing to do with leaving the world. It has to do with cleansing the kingdom of God, the people who claim to be His people. So, when these people are cleansed, separated from the kingdom, then what does it say? Then the righteous shall shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. See, people think about this, well, flying away or not flying away. It's not talking about that, folks. It's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is among you. It's in the midst of you. And, of course, it's in what everybody considers to be heaven, you know. But the kingdom of heaven is here. So they're going to be leaving our kingdom. They're going to be falling away. It's just like the parable of the sower and the parable of the solar. Excuse me, the sower. I'll just read it real quick. Like it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the evil one and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. So this is someone that's sown. And what's being sown here is the word of God. Okay? And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word and straightway with joy receiveth it, yet hath he root. Not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. So, truly, people that we would call Christians will not continue to be Christians because they receive the seed, but they only endure for a while. And when the word is tried in them, they fail. They fall back to their old ways and they fail. Verse 22, and he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, who verily bringeth forth fruit, beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So you can see that at the very least three of these groups received the word in their heart. And only one out of the four actually bore fruit. So we're talking about a falling away of the many called, but not the few chosen. The few chosen, of course, you choose those that have borne fruit. You go out into the field, and what's borne fruit? You go and pick the fruit, right? You don't pick the unripe fruit or the no fruit or the rotten fruit. You don't pick any of those. The Bible speaks of all of those, you know. So you don't pick any of that. So basically, the rest of it's going to be plowed back under, right? And like you normally do with the crop. So there's a separation coming according to this, a great separation in the time of what? The harvest of the end time. the harvest at the end of the age. There's a separation coming. We see it. We see it beginning now, folks. A strong delusion is coming over the people that we have called the people of God. For instance, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Delusion is the method by which God is going to separate the tares from the wheat. I guess we'll start in verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Wow, that's neat. You know what? The Lord, when the Lord is coming to be manifested, which is what the word actually is there, and it's what it is in my Bible, when he's coming to be manifested, he is putting to death the old man. That's the only way the outer man can lose his life, and the inner man can take it over. And the outer man's decaying, the inner man's renewing day by day, the Bible says. So the Lord himself, Christ in you, is the one that is taking the place of that old man, that lawless one. Well, I know that there's deeper meanings here and farther fetched, you know, I mean, sons of perdition and all those things. I know that that's true, but you have to at least see what I'm talking about here for an individual edification here. And he brings to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Even he, whose coming is according to the working of Satan. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about this son of perdition. Now, you that would want to go to our site and read the book Hidden Manna, there is a chapter on the son of perdition that will just totally shock you if you haven't read it yet. It is totally biblical. It's truly hidden manna, because there is a multitude of people that are called the son of perdition in the end time, contrary to popular opinion. Well, this son of perdition is being manifested right alongside the true disciples, exactly the way it was in Jesus' day. Matter of fact, the son of perdition was called Judas, and he walked among the disciples, and they didn't know him. They didn't know who he was. Jesus knew. He said, "Didn't I choose you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Well, Judas walked among them. Judas did the signs and wonders. He did the miracles. He was right there with them. But he wasn't bearing fruit. He was full of a lot of religious actions, but he wasn't bearing fruit. And so this son of perdition is also coming to be manifest, just like the Lord is coming to be manifest in his people. And he's coming according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Oh, brethren, there's so many lying wonders out there. Lying signs and wonders. Are they actually happening? See, some people are confused. They go to examine to see if this sign or wonder is actually happening. They think a lying sign or wonder is a wonder that's not really happening. It's fake. No, that's false. Let me tell you, folks, lying signs and wonders do happen, physically happen, okay? But they are to confirm the word of liars. They confirm the word of Babylon, you see? So don't go to look and see if they are actually happening to say, "Oh, this is true, this is of God because I saw it." Because you'll be deceived. Because there are lying signs and wonders, because the Bible talks about signs and wonders confirming the word spoken. And not only do God's signs and wonders confirm his word that's spoken, but lying signs and wonders confirm the word spoken to liars, to sons of perdition, to false prophets, to false leaders. They are true signs and wonders. They're just a false witness, okay? No, I'm not saying that there aren't fakes out there. We know that. Some of them have been caught, you know. But there's also real, actual, miraculous, supernatural signs and wonders that happen out there, and they are there for the effect of deceiving those people who do not love the Word of God. Verse 10. with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Multitudes of people are in this problem, folks. This is the reason deception comes to them, is they do not have the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So here is one of the ways that God's going to separate the tares from the wheat. Deception, delusion. Deception so strong that if possible, even the elect would be deceived. If possible. But it's not possible for them to ultimately and finally be deceived, because they are the chosen. They are the ones that bear fruit. So if you follow the scriptures on that, you'll understand that. But the signs and wonders. You know, we live in a town right here that has had some of these awesome signs and wonders, and people go to examine them, and sometimes they examine them and find out, oh, yeah, they're actually happening. I mean, I saw it with my eyes, you know, and they give a report. And, of course, other people say, oh, really? You know, so they go look at it like everything supernatural comes from God. And it doesn't. Well, you know, there was this Toronto, Brownsville false revival that happened here in Pensacola and spread throughout the United States and much of the world, and is just deceiving people. We get to look at the fruits of it here, folks. We get to look at where the money went, where the preachers went when they got the money, what the preachers did with the money, what happened to the people that got hands laid on, that had these supernatural things happen to them. What was the fruit of their life? What happened to their marriages after they got this so-called Toronto blessing? And what happened to the poor churches that were left behind after the preachers packed their bags and went to the next town? We got to see all that here, folks. We saw the fruit. And anybody that had any discernment of spirits who walked in the midst of this saw the demons actually being imparted. And I'm one of them, because I saw it. Of course, some people say, oh, no, couldn't be. I was there. I saw these. Yeah, you know what? I didn't see any of the kinds of signs and wonders that actually oppose the devil's kingdom, folks. A kingdom divided against itself won't stand. The devil is not going to go around with his false revivals and heal the sick and cast out devils and do those kind of things. Jesus told us that. He isn't going to do it. So what's he going to do? So he's going to have these placebo signs and wonders that that tickle people's fancy, that cause them to want to come and see, you know. But not something that actually delivers from the devil or deception. Not those kinds of things. And now I want to tell you something. I've been looking into a little bit of the latest thing. You know, we've had our wave here called the Brownsville Revival, and this spread throughout the land and went into other spurious doctrines and things. I mean, there was the Jesus as the fleshly lover thing. That was a spin-off from the people from the Brownsville thing. Their music, you can find it out there anywhere. They make the love of the Lord for his people some kind of a lust. Instead of a spiritual love, it's a physical love. And it is so sick, anybody that has any discernment can see through it right away. And so that was a spin-off from it. Now we're seeing the next spin-off from it, I think, and that is the gemstone thing. Yeah, I know some of you out there are looking at those gemstones and, hey, those are real. Yeah, well, of course they're real. You know, that's not the question, as I've told people before. I said the fact that they're real is not the question. I haven't looked at any myself, but I've heard that they've been examined, and they say that they're flawless, not like the normal kind of gemstones that people have. And, of course, you know, some people think the devil can't do that. I don't know why they think that. You know, the devil buys people off all the time, friends. He tried to buy Jesus off, didn't he? He tried to tempt the Lord. He tried to give him riches. He tried to give him authority over the nations. He tried to everything, of course, the Father has given him. Because he didn't give in. You think the devil does that today? I guarantee you he does that today. He bribes people. He gives them something to cause them to love this world and depend upon this world rather than depending upon the Father. Those poor disciples, can you think about those poor disciples out there, folks, that walked with Jesus? He told them not to get any money in their purses, not to get any gold or silver. They were just expected to go from town to town and watch God do miracles to provide for them. Yeah. Well, what about the gemstones? It seems like those guys could have used a few. You know, angels showing up, dropping gemstones around them. No, afraid none of that happened with them. Because God's not into, you know, entertainment. I mean, God's miracles were all very practical. He came to set the captives free and open the prison to them that are bound. You know something else I found out? I said it when I first heard about the gemstones. I said to people, I said, now you watch and see who it is that gathers around this miracle. In the back of my mind, I was thinking, the Toronto Brownsville people. Come to find out, that's the people that are behind it now. That's the people that are gathering around it now. Some of the names that have been mentioned, we've looked at them. And it's astounding, folks. We're getting ready to see another wave of revival. And the people that think that this is what revival is are going to come a flock into this one, too. A funny thing came to my mind. I'm not sure it's correct, but I'll give it to you in case it is a warning. The thought came to me of the Urim and the Thummim, the breastplate of the high priest, which carried the 12 gemstones that were for each of the tribes. And as you know, they used the Urim and the Thummim to give prophetic guidance to Israel. Those stones were had engraved upon them the names of the 12 tribes. And from what I understand, they had a plate behind the settings, which were in this breastplate, a plate with the tetragrammaton engraved into it, the name of God, and it was over the high priest's heart. And for some reason, this name of God over the high priest's heart would shine through those gemstones and spell out things. That's what many of the Jews believe actually happened. The Bible doesn't really bring it down into that particular, but that's what many of the Jews believe from their writings could have happened. Now, to me, that is very very prophetic, because you know what? The whole idea of salvation is the name of the Lord manifested in your heart. The nature, character, and authority, which is what name means, manifested in your heart. And obviously, it will give prophetic direction. Now, the Urim and the Thummim seem to have been replaced by the prophets. That is, men who were anointed of God to speak the word of God to God's people. But I thought, now suppose God's people today are many times going to false prophets and seeking knowledge that's, as we were talking about in our last meeting, that's prohibited, forbidden of God. And I pointed out one thing, the Ouija board, because I was familiar with it as a child, and my sisters used to play with it until we found out that it worked. But we didn't know at the time. We didn't have any Christian background or any biblical training, so we didn't know that it was the devil using it to prophesy to us and to tell us of things that nobody could have possibly known, you know. So we saw that it worked, you know. And just because it works, just because the stone is real, doesn't have anything to do with whether it's of God or not. See, the devil knows if he brings a phony along and people find that it's not real, that everybody will see right through it and it'll be gone. You know, so he's a very deceptive devil. The things that he was offering to Jesus, by the way, the riches, the rulership over the world and all these things that he was... Listen, the things that he was offering to the Lord were in his authority to offer. The Lord didn't argue with him. The Lord didn't say, no, you can't do that. No, you don't have that authority. Adam gave this world to the devil, folks. His servant you are whom you obey. When he fell, he gave the authority of it to the devil. And God said, okay, you want to live under him? I'll let you live under him. You choose him to be your leader? Let's see how you like it. And basically, that's what the curse is all about, to bring people to repentance. So I was thinking about these gemstones. I said, wouldn't that be something? The first time I read an article and saw the pictures and so on and so forth, there was 12 gemstones. I thought, uh-huh, that's the first thing I thought about. Wonder if they would take that to resurrect the Urim and the Thummim as a prophetic thing. You know, wonder if they would use that kind of like a Ouija board, you know. Well, I can tell you something, folks. The false prophets that are at the head of these false revivals, they don't prophesy anything correctly. Somebody was sharing with me today some of the prophecies that they had recently heard in a Brownsville-type revival up north, and they were all false prophecies. That person witnessed to me today that they prophesied over them this and that, and all of it was a lie. And the lady said, no, that's not correct. None of that's the truth. And I told her, well, don't be surprised, I said, because a lot of the big name leaders of Christianity that have fallen into this thing haven't prophesied the truth since they got hands laid on them by these people. Okay? So, it's a strong delusion. Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking about real things happening and supernatural things happening, but that doesn't make it from the Lord. Especially since these things are confirming the word of people that don't teach the word at all. I mean, the further people get into the Brownsville thing or the Toronto thing, the less word is heard. The more criticism of the word, the more disrespect of the word is heard. We've seen that around here, and it's continuing. Now it seems like there's another wave coming. Well, what is this? What are these deceptions coming for? Well, according to what we're seeing here, it is to deceive the people who do not love truth. I have seen that when you try to tell these people that what they're doing is not the word of God, it's not according to the commands of God, it's some of the things that they're doing are strictly forbidden, they begin to tell you that God's doing a new thing. Well, of course. You know, anytime then, so you don't have a rock to stand on anymore. Now it's just the wind and the waves you're being tossed around with because you've got nothing solid to really believe for a standard like the Word of God. Of course, what would the devil have you believe more than that, right? He's got you, right? Well, so I wanted to share a few things with you about deception and delusion and why it comes and how we can avoid some of it. Obviously, we can see here already that loving the Word, not departing from any of the Word of God, will save us. It will save us from deception. And I see people that I've loved for years that get caught up into deception, and I think, how could they do that? They've known the truth. Well, I'm going to tell you how they can do that. Let's look at a few verses, okay? First, I'd like to go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. And this is, we've spoken about this verse before, but it's a it's very important, I think. Verse 1. If there arise in the midst of thee a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass. Okay, so you understand, folks, that prophets and dreamers, even if they're not true, they can give signs and wonders that will come to pass. The Bible says, who commandeth a thing and it cometh to pass except I, the Lord, have commanded it? You say, well, was the Lord behind this? Let me tell you something, folks. The Lord is behind it all. He is behind it all. And he's trying you to see if you're going to buy delusion. There is no one that commands something to come to pass except I, the Lord, have commanded it. The devil can't do anything that's not permitted of the Lord and ordained of the Lord. So why does the Lord ordain that there be in the midst of the earth? Why didn't he wipe out liars and deceivers a long time ago? Well, because he wants to try his people, and he wants to separate the tares from the wheat. Okay? So, Verse 2 says, "And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods." Now you might say, oh, he's talking about the false gods of the nations, but actually the word there for gods is Elohim, the same word for our God. What does that tell you? Well, it kind of tells you that there are other Jesuses out there. And so you may be in Christianity, they may be so-called Christian preachers, and they may be preaching a little bit about Jesus. But if they're teaching you a Jesus other than the true Jesus of the combined Word of God, then they're deceiving you. And that's who this is talking about. Okay? "Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not," because, by the way, folks, Elohim is plural. Nine times of every 10 places in the Bible where the word God is used, it's Elohim, and one out of 10, it's El. El is singular, Elohim is plural. And I'll leave that up to you right now. I'm not getting into that, but I'll just let you understand that the Godhead is more than one. Okay? All right. "Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or unto that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God." Notice, the Lord your God is proving you. Well, how is he proving you? With a lying deceiver. What does this deception do? It separates the wheat from the tares. Is there going to be strong delusion in these days to suddenly, at the end of time, during the harvest, separate the wheat from the tares? Absolutely. And do you need to be guarding against that? Yes, for sure. Verse 4, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of bondage, to draw thee aside out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put away the evil from the midst of thee." But first of all, this evil is going to draw away people after himself, people who have no more respect for truth than he does. That's what the people are coming. That's what these, he said, "The Lord your God proveth you." The Lord is sovereign over the deceivers, just like he's sovereign over the devil. And remember, folks, it only took one angel in the end to come down and bind the devil in chains and throw him in a lake of fire. One measly angel. Do you think he could have done that with all the angels he's got at the beginning? Of course. It is not God's purpose to destroy the devil or to bind him at this time. He is here to get those that are his. And God is obviously going to get those that are his. So no, it's not time for the devil to be bound. It's not a problem doing that. God will have no trouble doing that when the day comes. Okay, look at Ezekiel 14. Now here's the main reason that many people, in fact I would say just about everybody that is deceived because of this reason right here. Okay, Ezekiel 14. By the way, you are listening to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. For information and materials, go to americaslastdays.com. Or you can send a self-addressed stamped envelope to David Eales, Post Office Box 5069, Navarre, Florida. That's Navarre, Florida, 32566. We're being broadcast from Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1 FM, 89.9 FM, and 103.7 FM on most of these stations. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Back to our text here in Ezekiel 14. You know, I've, over the years of caring for and loving and teaching God's people, I've gotten to see a lot of what we're about to read here. And, well, follow along with me. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? So, the men who were the leaders of God's people, think about those in Jesus' day. You know, how many of the leaders of God's people recognized him and followed him? Well, you could count them all on less than one hand, couldn't you? It wasn't a crowd. Okay. Hey, it's not very different from that today, folks. Not very different at all. So, and what is the problem? Well, you know, ministers today are put into a very difficult position because their whole structure is wrong. Their system is wrong. They have not bothered to examine the Word of God nor try to come into alignment with it with their the fivefold ministry, for instance, and things that are very safety-oriented and protective of the people of God. They haven't bothered with those things. They really kind of like their pedestals, and they really kind of like their control and their position and their money and all these things. They kind of like that. So they're really put in a position by the system and by their own lusts that's very unhealthy and causes many of them to stumble and fall. And when they're put in this position, they end up with many idols. An idol is what? An idol is something that is more important to you than the will of God and submitting to the Word of God, something that's more important. In fact, the word idol in the New Testament, idolatries, is a servant to that which is seen. That's what it means, idolatries. A servant to that which is seen. And very much the people, the leaders of the people of God and many of the people of God are serving the things that are seen instead of the Lord God and His kingdom which is not seen. That's what God calls an idol. So, they put their idols in front of their face, meaning this is the thing that they were worshiping, this is the thing that was important to them, so on and so forth. And the Lord says, should I be inquired of at all by these people? Obviously, the answer is no. And matter of fact, anybody that's got something that's more important to them than being obedient to the Word of God, if they do inquire of the Lord says He will deceive them. Oh, yeah. Listen to this. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, every man of the house of Israel that taketh his idols into his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him therein according to the multitude of his idols. In other words, I'll tell him what he wants to hear. God does that all the time, folks. You have your own desires and they're important, more important to you than the Word. He will deceive you. Most false doctrine, maybe even all false doctrine, is for at least one purpose, and that is idolatry. You know, there was a very sweet lady that came to our meeting years ago. She stayed with us a long time, and I really loved her. She had one false doctrine that I knew of. She recognized everything else that I was teaching, and she saw it was the Word. She seemed to love the Word, but she had just one false doctrine that I knew of, and it was ultimate reconciliation. And even though I shared the verses, she didn't even want to look at them. She was afraid to look at them. You know why? She had an idol. She did not want to believe any differently than this. I began to question her a little bit one day, come find out her husband died as a lost man, and she just couldn't fathom him going to hell, so she jumped right into this doctrine, which eventually gets him out. And she didn't want to hear anything else. You know what? I understood this lady. I didn't beat up on her. I didn't try to make her change her mind. I figured that down the road, as long as she wasn't trying to export this false doctrine, and she didn't, she never did, try to export it to anybody else, I figured, well, she'll either come in or she'll get out sooner or later. And, of course, I was praying that she would come all the way in. Well, it didn't work that way. She was separated from us. And she, in the back of her mind all these years, there was this thought that of course, I did not agree with this false doctrine. It just didn't fit the scriptures. It was obvious, and today it's obvious. But I still love this lady the whole time she was with us, and she was very good to us and kind and so on and so forth. But ultimately, that thing in the back of her mind separated her from us. And, you know, it's happened with a lot of other doctrines. When people have come into our midst, we don't judge them. You know, we hopefully hope that the Word of God will deliver them from their false ideas. And if they're willing to see the truth, Jesus said, if any man is willing to do the will of the Father, he shall know of the doctrine. Are you willing to do the will of the Father? Even though the will of the Father is to crucify you. Jesus said he came here to do the will of the Father. He knew he was going to his cross, folks, and he was willing. If a person is not willing to go to their cross, they're not ultimately going to go to the kingdom. Jesus said, unless you lose your life, you won't gain your life. The Word of God is designed to put to death the old man, that old son of perdition that lives in you and I, who is dying and passing away. Not denying the corporate son of perdition out there at all. Okay, I'm just pointing out another parable here, okay? So, this woman had an idol that ultimately separated her from us. And I'll tell you another idol that was common. Matter of fact, I was mentioned at our meeting last night. I think several things were mentioned at our meeting last night. Why do people come and like to listen, but ultimately hear something that causes them to just not even want to consider anything else and just leave? One of them was patriotism, I believe was mentioned. We had a baptism last night. We baptized, what, five people? And several people brought things up, you know, just from different perspectives. And I think it was maybe, I don't know who it was exactly who brought this up, but the women and the elders thing was another one that people don't seem to be able to get past. And I've known some sisters that disagreed with me on that, and of course, I still loved them. It didn't make any difference, you know. But I've also had this ultimately separate them from me. It's like they keep it in the back of their mind. They have this idol. Why do I call it an idol? Well, I'll tell you why it's an idol. It's because you can't find any scripture to back it up. Why should you believe anything that cannot be backed up with scripture? You cannot find scripture in our covenant to back this up. We're forbidden, the Bible says, I permit not the woman to teach or to take authority over the man. So why do women want this? They want to do this because they have a lust of their own, a desire of their own, an ambition of their own to do something that they were not designed to do. So they will believe something, even though it cannot be proven in the scriptures, cannot be found in the scriptures. You think, well, some of you are thinking, well, that's just totally unreasonable. Yeah, I know. And ultimately, that will separate them from the people of God when they continue believing something after they've seen the truth. You see, when you see the truth, it makes you responsible to repent when you see what the Word says. I've actually, you know, we have an article on our site. I know some of you out there may be fuming right now. We have an article on our site called The Word, Women, and Authority. Go there under Teachings and Revelations and read that and see exactly everything the New Testament has to say concerning this. I've given that to some of these people, some of these ladies, and said, well, read this and tell me where I'm wrong and show me in the verses. And I say, if you can find verses, I will listen to the verses. I will listen to the Bible, okay? You know, it's a funny thing. Nobody ever comes back and says, well, here's where you're wrong, David. You know what? Every time somebody has shown me something that they thought would give them just a little bit of hope, you look at the text and you realize, hey, it's not saying that at all, you know? And every time I've gotten one that I didn't include in that article, I go back and put it in that article. So you go read that article and see if I'm right, okay? But why do people cling to something that has no biblical foundation, even though they know and they profess the Word of God is true? It's because they have an ambition of their own. They have an idol. Why would people cling to unconditional eternal security when it cannot be backed up in the Scriptures? just cannot. And no matter how many scriptures you give to these people, they have a reason for believing what they believe. They believe it because they feel like it gives them an advantage. But it's an idol. See, it permitting them to do what they want to do and still claim heaven. It's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, the Bible calls it, meaning a license to do what you want to do. People want to do what they want to do. And so they have an idol. It's something more important to them than submitting to the Word of God and repenting. They do what they want to do. Now, you might say there's just an awful lot of idols out there, David. Yeah, there is. There's a lot of them. And that's, in fact, behind every false doctrine, there is an idol. And if you put that idol up in front of your face and you won't examine the Word and you don't give heed to the Word, guess what? At least in that point, you're not going to bear fruit. And ultimately, that may be the very thing that separates you from the people of God. Because let me tell you what's going to happen in these last days, folks. God's people are going to be filled with the epiphany of God. That can't happen when you live in sin and lies. The epiphany of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's people are going to bear fruit. They're going to be holy. The holiest people that have ever set foot on this earth are about to be manifested. God's going to have a spotless and blemishless bride. Okay? But also, as we've seen, He's going to separate so that these people shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. He's going to separate from them the tares, those that don't bear the fruit, those that have the Jesus of their own making, those that have their idols before their face. And what did we see there in 2 Thessalonians? One way God's going to do it is going to send deception. The Lord said He would send this deception. Even though it was coming according to the working of Satan, it was God who sent it. That's very interesting. And now we're seeing here that the people that want what they want, they have their idols in front of their face, they're not going to repent, which means change their mind and believe what the Word says. God says He's going to answer them according to their idols. In other words, He'll do like He told Balaam. Yeah, go ahead. You want it? Go ahead. But then, the angel of the Lord was there waiting to kill him. And, God will send you. He will send you. Of course, it's the minister's work to say, no, don't go. Don't disobey God. Submit to the Word of God. Don't go there. Don't listen to that. And even while the ministers who are righteous and try to teach the people the truth, and they hear this other word that says, yeah, go ahead. And it's God Himself sending it. Yeah, you're not going to listen to the Word? You won't humble yourself to the Word? Go ahead. I gave this example a while back, you know, like when I started chewing tobacco as a young child, I started chewing Red Man. And I know my dad was like that, you know, if he would catch you doing something, he'd just say, well, okay, do it some more, you know, just do it till you get sick of it, you know. Well, our dad is like that too. I'll give you enough quail till it runs out of your nose, God said. You remember that? They wanted flesh to eat. Give us flesh to eat. All right, I'll give you flesh. I'll give it to you till it runs out of your nose. Well, you know, that was what happened to me with the tobacco, you know. And I ended up chewing it all day until I just turned green, you know, and almost died. Never wanted to touch tobacco after that, you know. Broke me of that, you know. Actually, it was tasting better and better, but at the end of the day, I just turned green and almost died, you know. So, I just didn't want any more tobacco, especially Red Man. But, well, that's the way it is with idols. God hopes that when He delivers you over to the delusion, you'll get so sick of it that you will turn and run the other way. But I'm going to tell you, some people just don't get sick of it. They just keep right on going. They keep right on going to their own destruction. God said, I, the Lord, will answer him therein according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, and because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Yeah, Christianity is walked right down the steps of their spiritual forefathers and are estranged from God through their idols. They have convenient doctrines, convenient Jesuses, just so they can live the life they want to live. But that's so dangerous. And the deceptions and delusions are going to come and take all of those people, all of them, because there's not going to be any tares left among the wheat.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus.